Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps you've seen in the news, Jeffrey Edward Pfau, 56, from West Carrollton, is held captive in North Korea right now. He was detained in mid-May for perpetrated activities that violate the laws of our republic, which did not fit his stated purpose of visiting our republic as a tourist. And if you've been following news, apparently Jeffrey Pfau left a Bible behind in his hotel room. When the Iron Curtain stood, God's smuggler, have you heard of God's smuggler? Brother Andrew. He smuggled Bibles behind the Iron Curtain, oftentimes hidden in his little VW bug, for the communists had banned the Bible. Freedom from Religion's foundation here in the United States has successfully had Iowa State University and the University of Wisconsin remove Bibles from on-campus hotel rooms. Officials at Broward County Public Schools in Florida banned a fifth grader from reading his Bible during free reading time. The Liberty Institute is working with the family for the child's right to read the Bible. But let's step back and just observe all of this. Why ban the Bible at all? What harm can this book do? This book that teaches not to steal, not to kill, not to lie. Why ban a book that teaches the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, with doing good and what is right as lifted up as the right thing to do? Why do governments fear the Bible? Why are public schools and the Freedom from Religious Foundation, atheists, and others, why do they fear the Bible? It's a book. But could it be that there is power in the words of the Bible? Because the Bible declares the glory of the Lord. Why ban the Bible? Could it be that there's a spiritual war going on? And by banning the Bible, you can deprive a person of the weapons of war needed. There is a God. There is a God. And the world trembles that someone just might find that out by reading the Bible. There is no other book on earth like the Bible. No other. There are books for various religions, but none compare to the Word of God. It is absolutely unique. This is pulled from Angel Fire, a short description about this book we call the Bible. Written over roughly 1,500-year time span. Written over 40 generations. Written by over 40 authors from every walk of life, including kings, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, poets, statesmen, and scholars, and on and on. Moses, political leader, trained in the universities of Egypt, if you will. Peter, an untrained fisherman. Amos was a herdsman. Joshua, a military general. Nehemiah, a cupbearer to a foreign king. Daniel, a prime minister to a foreign king. Luke, a doctor. Solomon, a king. Matthew, a tax collector. Paul, a rabbi. To just name a few. Written in different places. Moses in the wilderness. Jeremiah in a dungeon. Daniel on a hillside and in a palace. Paul, mostly in prison walls. Luke, while traveling, John, exiled on the island of Patmos, and others during the rigors of military campaigns like David and Joshua. It is written at different times. In the time of war, David wrote much. In the time of peace, Solomon wrote much. Written during different feelings and moods, from the heights of joy to the depths of despair and sorrow. Written on the continents of Asia, Africa, and even into Europe. Written in the language of Hebrew, the Old Testament language. Second Kings calls it the language of Judah, and Isaiah calls it the language of Canaan. Aramaic was the common language of the Near East from Alexander the Great through the 4th century B.C. So portions are written in Aramaic, and then Greek was the common language. That's what the New Testament was written in, the language, the international language of the time of Christ. And with all of that, in the writings of this book, the Bible, there is an undeniable coherence to the whole Scripture. To the whole of Scripture. From Genesis to Malachi. From Matthew to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation. There is a common thread. You can see the consistencies. You can see what God has done. Prophecies written, prophecies fulfilled. There is no other book like the Bible. We heard in Deuteronomy 32, as Moses was about to die, he's passing on to Joshua, son of Nun, and the Israelites the reminder that these words are not idle words. You are to command your children to faithfully obey them. These words will give you long life. They are your life. Moses walked with the Lord. Remember, he was called at the burning bush, and he saw much. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 27, the Lord said to Moses, "Write down these words. For in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 24. After Moses finished writing in the book the words of this law from beginning to end, "We are a people of the written word." Moses wrote the word. Moses instructed the Israelites. And he instructs you and me to this very day. These are not idle words. They are your life. Idle. It can mean empty. It can mean vain. It can mean worthless. It can mean ineffective. The words Moses spoke, the words Moses wrote down, are not empty, ineffective, vain or worthless words. They are life because they come from God, the giver of life. Moses, called by the burning bush, experienced the great deliverance from Egypt, walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, water from stones, manna from heaven, quail for meat, and the great wonder of being on the mountain with God as the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. When Moses says these words are not idle words, they are life, we really need to listen to him, for he has been in the presence of God. Listen to the coherence of the Word of God. For these next verses I'll be sharing with you are written over 1,400 years apart in time. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. "He humbled you causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. When Jesus was tempted to turn the stones into bread, Jesus answered the devil, Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Deuteronomy 8, Matthew 4. 1,400 plus years separate them. Same word. Same meaning. When found in Capernaum, Jesus said to the people who had been fed by the 2 small fish and 5 loaves that they were looking for Jesus because their tummies were filled, not because of the miraculous sign showing them Jesus is the one sent by God. From John chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And after this teaching, many people deserted Jesus, for the teaching was too hard. So he turns to his disciples, the ones he chose to follow. John chapter 6, verses 67 through 69. Jesus turns to them and says, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." John writes, chapter 20, "Jesus did many other things, many other miracles, many other signs that point to him as the Holy One of God. He did it in the presence of his disciples." And John didn't record them. But the ones he recorded were written for a specific purpose, that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospels, the good news of Jesus, are written to bring forth faith. Ancient biographies are written in a form different than the way biographies are written today. Ancient biographies can be treated as biographies, even though they don't recount in minute detail all of the events. Nor are the events necessarily in chronological order in the ancient biographies. Ancient biographies are composed of selected segments of the subject's life to fulfill the purpose that the biography was written for. That's why when you read the 4 Gospels, they don't all have things in the same place. They don't all tell everything. There's things in John that aren't in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But each is telling the story of Jesus so that faith would come forth. These Gospels are like those other ancient biographies in form. They are not strictly history. The material is not necessarily in chronological order, but it's been chosen chronologically or topically, depending on the writer's purpose of telling the events. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are free to order the material as they purpose to bring forth faith. Their writings are not bits and pieces of oral traditions stitched together for some, as some may propose, but they are carefully crafted accounts of Jesus to bring forth faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The things John included bring forth faith, that you would believe and have life in Jesus' name. But we can't separate the Gospels or the New Testament writings from the Old Testament because it's one book. To understand Jesus, the Lamb of God, you have to have Exodus chapter 12, where the Lamb of God is constructed for Israel, the Passover feast. To understand why Jesus died on the cross for sin, you have to have Genesis chapter 3, where sin entered the creation. And God gave the promise of redemption, even in Genesis chapter 3. To understand Kingdom of David, you have to have 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. You need the whole book to understand God's will and His light for your life. John followed Jesus from the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus. From the day John the baptizer pointed to Jesus and said, "Look, there goes the Lamb of God." John, who would become the disciple and apostle, was there to see, hear, learn, and experience Jesus. John was at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. John was entrusted with the care of Mary, Jesus' mother. This John could have written so much more, but he wrote what he wrote so that we may believe Jesus is the Christ and have life in His name. Moses, who had been in the presence of God, said, "These are not just idle words for you. They are your life." John, the apostle and gospel writer, who had been in the presence of God, wrote, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Two men, separated by nearly 1,500 years. Two men who had been in the very presence of God. Two men agree, and they both wrote, "These words are life." Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. These words are life. The words in the Bible are life, written so you may believe. Amen.